Happy New Year. My name is Nate Graybill, and I'm a believer in Christ that struggles with pride and idolatry, and historically that manifested itself with a pornography struggle. But a lot of time, I'll leave it there. And, you know, in regards to CR starting here, God had what he had in mind for this place, and I'm just along for the ride. You know, it was never his desire that I would escape into fantasy, and the fact that he just wanted to use that along with all the brokenness that was in other lives here to come together and be on a journey with how he's going to heal this body has been a great privilege. So, anyway, let's start with prayer, and we'll go from there, all right? Lord, I do thank you for new beginnings, and the first of the year always seems to be a time when we reflect on where our life has been and where we want it to go. And I just pray that we would understand what you've done for us and that we would embrace where you want our lives to go. So be glorified here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, hey, if you've been around for a while, you know that we'll do a testimony 1 week, and the next week we'll teach on a lesson. And you'll get that for about a year. There's 25 lessons in the material that you're going through, and so then you'll get 25 testimonies, and that rounds out to about a year. And we use our leaders here to do the teachings and also give the testimonies for part of their development. And so tonight we're actually teaching on a lesson, lesson 16, which is amends. And if you guys can throw up the principle and the steps that fall underneath that. This comes later on in the program. And, you know, amends, just so you know, is one of those things that we think we need to take ground in here at Watermark CR. We've not done a great job teaching it. There's a lot of confusion on what amends is because it goes hand in hand with forgiveness as part of the reconciliation process. And a lot of times, I think sometimes even the material at times is not clear with this step. And so when I asked, what should I teach on in this, they gave, hey, make it clear, give lots of practical examples. So tonight you're going to get a teaching rather than a testimony. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what is amends, what amends is not. I'm going to talk about why we do amends, and then I'm going to talk about how to go about doing amends practically, and then we'll give you a great example of how God can use it. All right? So, like I said, there is a lot of confusion about what amends is because we don't quite understand how it fits in this whole reconciliation process, especially alongside forgiveness. And I think to really understand this process, you need to understand what the Bible says about sin and what happens with sin. And the Bible makes it clear that when sin occurs, there is a debt that is owed. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, took a bite of the apple, and the first thing that was required was the death of an animal to cover their nakedness. And you see this in your relationships, right? We see it in society. God has put inside of us this sense of justice, this sense of conscience. So when there's a crime committed against society, we demand payment, whether it be with jail time. If I speed, they'll fine me. Sometimes there's actually financial reparations that need to happen when there's theft. You find it in emotional relationships, right? When someone hurts you, hey, you owe me something. You got to make it right. I'm going to make you make up for this with me. And you see the sense of justice. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the Bible confirms that there is a wage, and that wage is death. It might be death. There might be a debt that's incurred that is financial, relational, but your sin is all. There is always a spiritual debt to be paid with that. Always. And when there is a debt to be paid, there is power in the hands of the offended. There's power in the hands of the offended. You owe me. A lot of you will feel this from your creditors, right? You owe me. We're going to charge you for it. And here it comes in. So when there's a debt, there's power in the hands of the creditors. And when you get in an argument with somebody, a lot of times it's all confusing because it's all mixed up. There's sin on both sides. And so then you start to justify yourself and you figure out who owes more than the other person, right? And you justify your actions that way. But all sin is a sin against God. And there is a debt to be paid. And so what amends is, by definition, amends is reparation or compensation for a loss, damage, or injury of any kind. It is the recompense. And so amends in and of itself is the payment for sin in biblical terms. It is the payment itself. There's great examples of this, whether in society with jail times, fines. In my house, sometimes that ends up being corporal punishment. Sometimes it's about going to ask for forgiveness, you know, and just humbling yourself. There's an amends that needs to be made there. In biblical times, you see examples of Zacchaeus, you know, paying back all of the folks that he stole the taxes from, not only what he owed them, but interest, and more than the interest, to make up for it. With a prodigal son, you see him return home and he says, "Make me a slave so I can repay what I've taken from you." And the father ultimately forgives him of that. So amends is our attempt to acknowledge that a debt that we have incurred through our own sin, and the best of our ability to make reparations for that offense while facing the consequences of our sin, no matter how large or how small our part is in an event that's occurred. So that's what amends is. It's the payment. What amends is not? Amends is not forgiveness. If amends is the payment, forgiveness is giving up a demand for payback. It's the forgiveness of debt. It's letting go of my demands. I've been offended, but I'm going to release you from the debt that you owe me. It is also not a platform to justify your own sin. While we are not always responsible for the pain caused by sin, we are always 100% responsible for how we respond. We are always 100% responsible for how we respond. So if I am wronged by someone else and my response is not Christ-like, that is all me, 100%. I do not have to respond to someone else's sin in a way that dishonors Christ. Example, if I'm hurt by my spouse and I choose to respond by lashing out or trying to hurt in return, or if I harbor unforgiveness and use past hurts as a weapon or power to protect myself or manipulate, then I have a part no matter how heinous the sin was against me. Amends with others. This is a big one. I think this is really confusing. I think even the material in and of itself is not clear on this. Amends with others is not the source of healing and freedom. Amends with others is not your source for healing with freedom. Healing and freedom is found in spiritual freedom, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has paid your eternal debt. It is done. It is finished. It was paid at the cross. They are found, healing and freedom are found in accepting His eternal payment for our sins, entering into a relationship with Him, and following His commands while giving Him glory. And He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? It doesn't matter if someone has something against you in that regard. Your sin with heaven was paid at the cross. You are free if you've accepted Jesus Christ's payment for your debt. Is a relationship always restored when you've done everything you possibly can to make amends for the hurt that you've caused in a relationship? No. Because there's someone else involved. It involves forgiveness on the other side. Can you walk in freedom when someone doesn't forgive you? Absolutely. You can walk in freedom when someone doesn't forgive you. So then, if amends is not what brings, amends with others is not what brings healing, why do we do this? Why do we go through this process? All right? Reason number one. Usually the only reason that we need, but the hardest one that we have to wrestle with. God commands us. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 is one of our verses up there, I think, for step 9, which is when we may direct amends to such people whenever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Romans 12, 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You are commanded to, and there are many, many scriptures on this. But if you're like me and there's a little bit of a rebel in you and you want to know why and you need an explanation, how about because God's love for you through Christ has compelled you to love others? There's a reason why amends comes after the inventory and after our confession to God and to someone I trust. The purpose of the inventory is not just to show you patterns of sin behavior or to help you understand why you do what you do. Those are parts of it. But the major component for the inventory is for you to understand just how sinful you are. And how much you've been forgiven. And I believe that the material does us a disservice by asking you to do a balanced inventory. Step one is that we're powerless. Romans 7:18, I know that there is nothing good that lives in me. That is my sinful nature. Nothing. The reason why the material puts it in there is because they don't want us to get depressed and feel bad about ourselves and, you know, take harmful actions and start going back to our coping mechanisms. But Jesus Christ has paid your debt. Your worth was sealed at the cross. He came for you at your worst moment. Because you're worth it. You are worth the blood of Christ. And for you to say that you're not is a rejection of the Savior of the world. So when you're faced with the magnitude of how much you've been forgiven and how much your sinful patterns have caused damage in your relationship with God first and then with man, you just begin to get an inkling of how much God loves you. He who is forgiven much loves much. We've all been forgiven much. How much you understand about how much you've been forgiven really opens up the gateway to a relationship with God that you can't imagine. Grace is the foundation for you understanding God's love. Think about it. When did you really believe that God loved you? It's when you accepted His grace in your worst moment. He paid your debt. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. And I'm going to go through this slow because this is why we do this amends process. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all so that they might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, their sin. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's been forgiven. The old things are passed away. Behold, the new things have come. And all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Christ, who knew no sin, be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He has paid your debt, so that you can be His ambassador. So that you can show the love of Christ. By this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. Luke 9:23-25 says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Question. What does it mean to take up your cross? Back in those days, when you took up your cross, you were going to die. You were to carry a cross. Why did Christ go to die? To make amends for you. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. We are Christ's ambassadors, compelled by Christ's love for us. And He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us the opportunity to lead others to Christ by the way that we follow Him. We do it for the glory of God. So now that you've got what it is, what it's not, why you do it, how do you do it in this process? All right? Can you pull up the acrostic, our favorite thing here? All right. I'm going to go through some of this. First of all, I'm going to say pray. Okay? Pray is really, let me come back to my notes here a little bit. Pray is really do it at the right time. Okay? Hey, ask for God's guidance in this thing. Some of you have a hard time understanding what your part is. Well, good news, on the inventory, you've got column 5, which says my part on an event. All right? So go back to all those events and say, what's my part? If you can't see it, you pray. You pray and you say, Lord, show me, do I have anything to own in this? All right? So pray and ask God to give you the wisdom to show your part. Go back through your inventory, examine it. Find the 2% that you owe. Find the 2% that's your part and own 100% of that 2%. Okay? Maybe you own 50%. Maybe it was all your fault. Go and find out your part. So on your inventory list, go back to column 5. It tells you what your part is. All right? Get counsel from sponsor, accountability on timing and method. All right? Remember, the goal is to show the love of Christ by only owning your part without expectation of anything from the other party. If 2% is your part, you go own 2% of that and you expect nothing back from them. That is how you do it. The goal of it is love. All right? 2, consider if your amends will actually harm the other party, all right, more than show the love of Christ. This is part of, I think, step number 9, right? Except when to do so would injure them or others. So remember that you're going there to show them the love of Christ. Great example of when not to do this. Look, hey, my history, I was not pure before I was married. It's not always right for me to go back to a gal that I had an inappropriate relationship with that's now married to someone else. I don't know where she is spiritually. I don't know what the state of her marriage is. I'm not out to destroy a marriage. So that may not always be the case. However, if those folks are spiritually mature if they are on good footing, if maybe there's a relationship or connection or an opportunity that provides itself, it might very well be appropriate for my wife and I to go and sit down with them as a couple and us to do amends there. Those are things that you need to seek counsel for. All right? Second, don't hide behind the out clause. I think a lot of this happens. Okay? Well, it might hurt them. I can't tell my wife that I'm really wrestling with pornography because it's going to hurt her, you know, in this thing. I can't live in the light here. But don't hide behind the out clause here. I was at a conference not long ago, and I asked the guy that headed up CR and prison ministries, how does a prisoner go about making amends with family members on the outside? And he said, you know what they do? He said, they write a letter, not knowing where they are. If I'm a sex offender and I want to go make amends with them, I'll just write a letter to the family and say, hey, look, I need to ask for forgiveness. There's a debt that I'm paying right here to society, but I need to seek your forgiveness. I'm ready whenever you are. Okay, write a letter if you think that's the case. Sometimes it's not best to deliver it. So maybe you write a letter and you hold on to it till God shows you the right time. But don't hide behind your out clause. All right? Remember, the goal of the command is to love. When circumstances dictate face-to-face amends is not possible, write a letter. And then fourth, go and share the love of Christ. Tell what He has done for you and what He offers them. Open the door to reconciliation. Live in the grace of God for the glory of God. Your goal when you go is to love them and to tell them what Jesus has done for you. Amends is the payment for sin. And Christ has paid the debt of the entire world. Your debt, my debt, your offender's debt, and He offers His payment to everyone who will receive it. It's a free gift. Healing and freedom is found in accepting Christ's payment as sufficient for your sin and entering into an intimate relationship with God. We pursue reconciliation and confrontation to draw others to the grace of God out of love for Him. It is His desire that all would come to know His grace. You are ambassadors. And you have no idea what He will do when you are obedient. God is in the business of taking junk and turning it into something that glorifies Himself. And in that is where your joy will lie. I have an example here from a friend. This video was shot on the subject of forgiveness. But it was his amends process that led him to be compelled to go and be reconciled to someone that had created an offense against him. And so I think you'll be encouraged by his story.
My name is Carlos Ramirez. As you can hear, I have an accent. I'm from Mexico City. My aunt and uncle, Martha and Francisco, and their two kids, Leslie and David. David was 7 and Leslie was 4. 1996, they were kidnapped. Nobody ever called to ask for any ransom on money or anything. We just knew that they were gone. So I was on duty to get the phone when we got this phone call from the police. I'm like, what's going on? I said, well, we believe we found some bodies and some remains, and we asking somebody to come and identify these people. Me and my cousin, we followed the police to this location, and it was one of the hardest things I have ever done, and just to go there and identify them, and they were my family. Around 80% of their bones, they were broken. And that moment is when I started feeling bitterness and anger, resentment, and hatred. And I remember thinking, what kind of animal could do something like this, especially to two kids? My grandfather decided to have the four caskets in the church and have a ceremony, a celebration of their lives. In the end of the funeral, looking at the four caskets of my family there, my grandfather stood up and he prayed for the salvation of whoever killed their family. And also he asked God for, God, give me so many years of life, enough years, so I can have the opportunity to share the gospel to whoever did this. I couldn't stand grandfather praying for the salvation of these people. In 97, I moved here, came to the Bible school, a lot of discipline and memorizing verses and everything you do in a Bible school. But still, the bitterness and anger was there. I got a phone call a couple years later that the person that killed our members of our family has been captured. We don't have the death penalty in Mexico, so he got convicted for life. His name is Alex. But I realized that I couldn't move on. Still, knowing that Alex is in prison, it didn't do anything in my heart. I wanted more. A couple months later, I found out by accident that my grandfather has been visiting Alex in prison. And I got really upset. My grandfather visited Alex for around 9 months in prison, and he led Alex to the Lord. I remember wrestling with the idea of, I don't want Alex to know the forgiveness of my God. That's my God. And knowing that the tool or the vessel or the instrument that God was using was my own grandfather. In one hand, I'm here in ministry, God in His grace using me. And the other hand is me having a double life, empty life in my heart, and just this hatred and unforgiveness just eating me up. 2004 and 2005, it seems like everywhere that I went, forgiveness was there, grace was there. That's when I made the decision to serve in Celebrate Recovery and CR. It was painful because I had to open an area in my heart that it was so devastated. It took those 2 years to process that, and finally I made the call to my grandfather and my dad and said, I want to meet Alex. 2 days before Christmas in 2005, I was entering the maximum security prison in Mexico City. I started hearing the chains walking and getting closer. I knew that he was coming because security, the two guards in the room, they were there, they started moving, and more security came. I can see it through the window, so I knew that they were approaching. It was like a slow motion movie, all those memories. The funeral, me identifying those bodies, that they were rather very vivid in my heart. As the sound of the chains, they started getting closer and closer, I saw Alex in the door. My grandfather introduced us, then my grandfather asked Alex to speak first. He said, I've been in the chains of sin all my life, and I will never be able to fix what I have done. I did a lot of evil things to you, your family, and other families. But now that he understood the gospel, he's like, I want to ask for your forgiveness. The first time that I opened my mouth, no voice came out. And I finally answered, said, Alex, I forgive you, and I do so because Christ has forgiven me. I talked to him about how hard it was for me, not just to forgive him, but also to see him as brother in Christ, because the same blood that has set him free has set me free. It blows my mind away, Alex said, that the father of the lady that I killed is the person that God used to show me his love and grace and mercy. I explained to him that I wanted to wash his feet. He said, there has to be another way. It has to be another way. And I said, no. The greatest example of humility that I found is Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and even he did it to somebody there that later on betrayed him. When I went down into my knees and I saw the chains in his ankles, I lost it there. After I finished, we stood up, and he stood up from his chair too, and we embraced and we hugged. And that was the beginning of finding freedom in my own life, just to release it, to break the bondage and the habit, and just to bring that to Christ, to the cross, and to find hope. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him.
Carlos's grandfather died a couple years after that, maybe 1 year after that. The Mexican prison guards released Alex, not released him, but they accompanied him to the funeral. It was a funeral with over 10,000 there. And they got to see what the love of Christ is like. Over 16,000 people have heard the gospel because of the amends and forgiveness process in this situation. Over 2,200 have accepted Christ. When Carlos was there, he talked about CR. He asked for forgiveness for the bitterness and the anger and the hatred that he had harbored against Alex. And Alex goes, why did you do this? And he said, well, I've been going through Celebrate Recovery, and it's what Christ did for me. And so I need your forgiveness. Alex asked for books. He's led multiple groups within his prison. We received calls from the Mexican prison system asking, hey, can you guys come down here and show us how to do this? Because these guys are nicer. See the Spirit of Christ. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. This is his gig, not ours. 5, we cannot comprehend the grace that you bestowed on us and the load that you bore on that cross, that you took the sin of the world on your shoulders. And you extend the offer of grace to all, and your desires that all would come to know that grace. And I just pray that we would be living examples of the grace upon grace that has been bestowed upon us. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us to live in the freedom that you gave us at the cross. And let us be your ambassadors to a world that is lost. Thank you for using us for your glory. Thank you for the journey. Amen.